are listening to The Beauty Beat with Francesca Alexander. I am really excited about this next podcast. It has been for me at least a year to get this busy woman to actually do this podcast. And if you know anything about me, I am a huge fan of Barbara Stanny. She is the financial advisor to women in a different way than a lot of other financial advisors actually approach finance. She does it through the way of what you really want to desire and what you want to bring forth into the world, which is completely amazing. I will tell you, it was nerve-wracking. You're going to hear me do something that I absolutely try to work on a lot, especially when I do speech, and it is stuttering. I am in such awe with this woman. There's times where I pause long and I stutter, and I was just like, you know, totally having to regroup and ask a question all over again. But the great thing is that sort of faded out, and what happened was really magical for me on this particular episode because I really opened myself up. I shared a little bit more about myself on the show than I normally do, and it was absolute magic for me. All of the information that Barbara went ahead and just effortlessly gave out, because she does come from a place of service and really shared that on this podcast. I will stop now and just let you listen to it. It's still, you know, making me tingle. It was that good. So without any further ado, here is episode 14, Barbara Stanny.
Now today I'm talking to a very special person that has affected my life in ways I can't even imagine, literally sharing in just this little podcast. But I will, I mean, if anybody's been a regular audience feature of me, I'm always talking about or always featuring or referencing Barbara Stanny. Barbara Stanny is the essential person that you need to know, but she is also the expert in women in finance. Like, there is no other that covers the ideology and what makes women tick around finance. And trust me, I've been doing my research. I think it's a fascinating topic. She is the expert, and I just have to stop talking so we can hear from her. Barbara, welcome. Thank you so much for doing the show.
Oh, thank you. I just love your enthusiasm. It was great. Thank you.
Now, what I love about you, and this is like the daunting thing, is the beginning of your story and how you started your journey. And can you share a bit about that? How did you just start going on your personal finance journey?
Oh, it's so interesting. God works in mysterious ways. I'll tell you, you never know where life's going to take you. So I grew up wealthy. My father was the R of H&R Block. And the only advice he gave me was, don't worry. And, of course, under that was the unspoken assumption there'll always be a man to take care of you, which was absolutely fine with me, because I didn't understand money. I just wanted to spend it, and there was always a man. First my father, and then there was my husband, who was also a stockbroker. But what I learned very early in our marriage is that he was a compulsive gambler. And over the course of our 15-year marriage, he lost a fortune of my inheritance. And the insane part, Francesca, is I continued to let him manage the money. He paid all the bills. He balanced my checkbook. He did all the investing. I signed whatever he told me to sign, because that's how intimidated I was and terrified by anything to do with finances. And I remember finally when we got a divorce after 15 years, I decided money's not my thing. I don't want to deal with money. Well, I have this theory. If you don't deal with your money will deal with you. And in the next year, I got tax bills for over $1 million for back taxes my husband didn't pay, for illegal deals he got us in. Of course, my signature was on everything. And my ex had left the country. I didn't have $1 million or even close to it. And my father wouldn't lend me the money. And that's when I knew I had to get my act together. I had three daughters. One was just a baby. Swear to God, I was not going to raise those girls on the street. I was not talking to my family. I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I really believe when you make a commitment, the universe revolves to help you reach your goal. And I was a journalist writing for the San Francisco Business Times, and I got hired for a freelance project to interview women who were smart with money. And those interviews changed my life. This was back in 1995. I not only got smart about my own money, but I wrote my first book, Prince Charming Isn't Coming, How Women Get Smart About Money, and I suddenly became a financial expert. I was traveling around the country doing financial seminars, but I couldn't make money. I couldn't make money, no matter how hard I worked, and I worked really hard. So I started interviewing women who made six and seven figures, and I started making six figures, which was three times more than I've ever made, ever, 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 before I even finished the book.
Wow. And I still get stuck on the whole part of, like, ex-husband leaving the country and leaving you with a $1 million bill and children. I mean, that is just, you know, it's like I'm stammering.
I can't think
of my friends or me just even pushing through that and, like, being functional and awake and being okay.
Well, I was not functional. I was not awake. I was not okay. And I told my girls, I have three daughters, and I said, when you graduate college, what they all have, you're on your own financially. But I'll always pay for your therapy because I'm the one that screwed you up. So I was not okay. But I had to be okay. I had to be okay for those girls. Now, I have since then thanked my husband. And I thanked my ex-husband. I thanked my father for not lending me the money. Because, I mean, I've got a great story, right? And I wouldn't want to live through it again, ever, ever. What I've learned is I can be a role model to inspire other women, because the women I interviewed were like role models to me. I saw that they were doing it differently. I saw that it wasn't just what they did to get smart. It was how they thought. And when they shifted their thinking, everything changed too. And I saw the same thing, not just with managing money, but with making money. That it's an inside job. And when you shift the way you think, your behavior changes automatically. And so the work I do with clients and in my seminars is a three-pronged process. It's a combination of the outer work of wealth, the inner work of wealth, and the higher work of wealth.
So this leads me to like questions that I wanted to ask you. So this shows primarily, women will be listening. They're entrepreneurs, most of them, or they're thinking about it. So there's a lot of head stuff that goes on when you're creating your business and you're just starting out. What is the number one thing that you can, like, give us a tip on? What's the first thing that we need to have our eyes open for when we're coming into our own and doing our own business finances?
Having my own business and having interviewed hundreds, maybe thousands of women who many have had their own businesses, how important it is to be strategic. That means you have one eye on your bigger vision while keeping the other eye on the bottom line. And what scares me is when women say to me, my business is my biggest investment, my only investment, and they have no cash cushion, they have no financial foundation. And that's the thing that makes businesses go belly up, that keeps us from sleeping at night and saps our creativity and our energy. So one of the things I really tell entrepreneurs, I tell everybody, but entrepreneurs, is be careful of debt. If you have to borrow money, make sure you can return it, like a revolving line of credit. But be careful of doing it on credit cards with high interest. Because what worries me is how debt can spiral out of control, and nothing can ruin a business faster than the emotional turmoil of spiraling debt. That was a very long answer to a very good question.
No, I think that we need to hear it, because it's not just the practical side, but there's the emotional element that I love, you know, reading all your books. That's definitely the cohesive sort of undertone of each book. And I have to tell you, the first book that I read that I went, oh, my gosh, it was, I keep on saying overwhelmed, but it was Overcoming Under-Earning. And that was the book that I saw you at a conference speak in 2012. And that was the book that you talked about most of the time. And I went, holy smokes, I need to get this book because I'm quietly in the corner, you know, spending a lot of money to attend this conference and going, there's something here. Like, there's something here. Like, stop putting your head in the sand and all you need to do today is just get the book and read it. And that was the beginning of how things changed in my business and my life and even my business model.
Really?
And so,
really? Wow.
Yeah, oh, my God. You have no idea.
I really didn't, Francesca.
I'm so fanatic.
It wow.
Really was. I heard you speak, and I was there in awe, in the corner, quiet, just shrinking like a little violet. And I'm just really, I guess when I meet people, I'm sort of an extrovert. But I have to tell you, a certain thing, you know, money and sexuality, that's where I'm like, shrink into a violet. So, you know, the shrinking violet. But when I went to that conference, it was mind-opening and mind-boggling how the connectivity of, you know, having things and that serve for you, you know, which is in your pleasure, how do you open that completely up and have practical tools that you share in all of your books and how to mesh those together and integrate a life that's actually functional and thriving. And that's what overcoming over and earning was for me. I did not, prior before that book, I did not give invoices to my clients. I didn't do it. I'd wait for them to ask me to send it to them. I mean, come on.
That's adorable. Yes, that means adorable.
Now they have to pay, I know, they have to pay in advance to have me work with them, which is,
I love it.
Hello, that's a Barbara Stanley move if I ever called one out.
Oh, I'm so happy you could help. But it, you know, I think the biggest problem is that you're not alone. No one ever taught us these things.
Yeah.
No one ever taught us. And so, once we have that mission and vision, and we get so excited about helping others that we forget that we need to have a strong financial foundation, that we need to do those things. I think I would say the number one requirement for going to the next level financially is the willingness to be uncomfortable. Like you asking, you invoicing people, asking them for money up front. That, at the beginning, I am sure, was uncomfortable as it was for me. And that's what it takes. So every time you find yourself uncomfortable, every time you hear yourself saying, oh, no, I can't do that, that's exactly where you need to go. That's exactly what you need to do to go to the next level.
And that's also a great little topic that you brought up, being, you know, staying in that uncomfortable feeling. And that is when you would go to your next step or your next progression in your life and in your business. And that is where I think a lot of people get stuck in. And I know that I'm one of those people that occasionally do that. And I once heard you say that, it's the place you need to be. Can you elaborate a little bit more about that?
I would love to, because what I found from interviewing successful people is that every one of these women will get to a place where she'd say, oh, no way, I can't do that. And she did it anyway. And even if she didn't succeed at first, she got up and kept going. It's what I call the stretch. It means stepping from what feels comfortable to what seems impossible. I ask under-earners, when's the last time you did something you thought you couldn't do? And they'll scratch their head and think. And high-earners say, all the time. It's a way of life. And there's a six-figure slogan, I call it, where they say, if it's not illegal or immoral, I always say yes.
I love that.
And so when I get scared, like I scare myself a lot. I take on projects that really scare me. And I know, I'll get scared. I'll say, oh, goody, because I know that's what's going to take me to that next level. I mean, my latest book, Sacred Success, A Course in Financial Miracles, it just came out. That was so scary for me to write, Francesca. It took me 7 years to write that book. 7 years. I was so scared. But I knew That was exactly where I needed to go because I was so damn scared. And what scared me is it's the first book where I talk about two things that I've only alluded to that I think are so important in the financial conversation. And the first thing is spirituality, that I really believe that financial success for women is not just a practical process, but a spiritual practice. And I think weaving those two together makes the whole journey, the whole process, so much richer, so much meaningful, and so much more rewarding in so many ways. The second thing I talked about that I've alluded to but have never come out forthright and said, I absolutely believe that women's issues around money, their difficulties with, their fear of finances, has nothing to do with money. It has to do with our fear of or ambivalence about power, because we really don't understand power from a feminine perspective.
I love that feminine perspective thing, because I've read your book, Sacred Success, of course. And this is also my trick that I do when I'm working, because I feel guilty sometimes reading the book when I should be working. I go to Audible and I buy books that I've purchased, and then I have them, you know, sometimes you need to have things absorbed, especially your content. It's stuff that really needs to set in and you need to reread it. And Sacred Success is on Audible. And one of the things you did talk about was that dynamic of why women want to earn money versus men. And can you talk a little bit more about that kind of structure?
This is research shows this to be the truth. And when I really got this from my interviews and when I realized through the research, this made a huge difference for me. Women and men view power through very different lenses. For men exercise power by asserting control. Women exercise power by building relationships. For men, wealth is power, giving them control. So wealth and power are the ultimate goal. For women, wealth and power are simply a means to an end. What motivates women, once they reach financial stability, once they have food on the table, a roof over their head, enough to get their hair done, you know, what motivates them is the opportunity to help others. And I think when we understand that we exercise power differently, we view power differently than men, and when men understand that, we can have a very different world than we have now. I really believe that when enough powerful women come together with enlightened men, we have the vision, the values, the sensitivity, and the resources to heal this planet, to change this world.
Oh, my goodness, that's so true. And I kept on thinking about it, and it's such a contrast. Like, I think women are really good in social media and men not so much. And I was thinking about that whole business way of thinking. Men will happily spend $4.5 million on the 32nd spot in Super Bowl, and women will happily invest their energy and engagement on social media. So there's a relationship building one, and then there's a flashy one. And which one is going to have that long-term effect in iconography and branding and who you are? You know what I mean? So you can have meaningful commercials, but they're going to be lost in the next quarter. Like, you may not even remember them. You know what I mean? So I think that was, for me, that was the parallel when I read that part.
That's very interesting. It's very interesting. I hadn't thought about it from that perspective. But that's very interesting, Francesca.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about, you know, Sacred Success. And let me just read the entire title, because it gives me chills when I say it. It's Sacred Success, A Course in Financial Miracles. So that already, that's just a great title, and it really has this invitation to go in and hold financial space for yourself, which is honestly revolutionary. I would have never thought of doing something like that. And by the way, I've read your books before, but to really put it in that perspective, that you're putting your financial life in a particular, and you're holding space for it, and you're opening it up and inviting that good sort of energy in. And you even have that, by the way, I think you did a great job on me just changing my perspective on that. You know,
how so? How
having,
so? How did that change your perspective?
Just even saying out loud, so I just went, I had like that little aha moment where money is a good feeling, or in or just looking at your finances, no matter what the state it is an empowerment movement. It's feeling good. It feels great to have my eyes open, and money is a friend. Holy smoke. I was the one that actually buried my head in the sand when it came to things that started to get rough. In finances, I just, yeah, whatever, you know,
yeah,
I'll just go this way. You know, and that's huge. That's really huge. So tell me more about that whole, you know, holding it in a sacred place, holding finances in a sacred place. Like, well, I know you talked a little bit more about that, but what are some key choices that we can make every day to really open ourselves up to that just inviting that in?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I had a line in my book, Sacred Success. I had a line there that I kept picking out, putting in, picking out, and putting in. It was scary for me to write this. And then the first review of my book was by Publishers Weekly, which is it's like the Bible for the publishing industry. And I've never had a book reviewed by them before. And they gave me a glowing review. And the review started with this line. And the line was, money is God made visible. And I thought, wow. I felt so exonerated. I don't know. But I do believe the idea of sacred success is to transform money from being a source of stress and distraction to being a tool for transformation, transforming your own self to become all you can be, and then transforming the world to be a better place.
Oh, wow. Wow, that gave me complete chills. That's amazing.
And so the thing is, money, even women who have money, they even earned it, inherited it, married it. Money does not give us power. Money does not give us power, because there's two kinds of affluent women and men. There's the powerful affluent and the precarious affluent. So when I was growing up, when I was married to my first husband, I had the money, but he had the power because I gave it to him. I let him make all the decisions. Money is like a wobbly stool. We don't understand it. We don't know how to use it, and we don't enjoy it. But a powerful woman, she is a good steward of her money. She understands. I think my belief is that money is like a man. If you want to have a legendary love affair with your money so that you live happily ever after, because all a money wants to do, all it wants to do is serve you and support you. And all it wants in return is for you to respect it and appreciate it by taking care of it. And if we understand that, we will absolutely have the most amazing partnership with our money, so that we can not only live life on our own terms, but we can help others do the same. And in sacred success, the goal of sacred success is no longer profit. Yes, that's the desired outcome. Yes, we want to make a profit, and that's absolutely important. But the primary goal of sacred success is greatness, achieving greatness. And I define greatness, paraphrasing a quote by Fred Buchner, greatness is that place where your deep gladness, what you were born to do, what you love to do, meets the world's deep hunger. And that is what sacred success is all about, and being richly rewarded for it. One of the quotes I love, and Michael Agape, you know who is head of the Agape, Michael Beckwith, who's head of the Agape Church, Mega Church?
Yes.
He has this
yes.
quote that I love. How can you be the light of the world if you can't pay your light bill?
That's a good perspective. I love that. Oh, my gosh, that's a great quote.
I know. So I want to help everyone, every woman on this planet, be the light of the world. In their homes, in their communities, wherever they want to light up. And it means being a good steward of your money. And it means being willing to go where you fear, because that's how you grow and become all you can be.
I think that's amazing. And I think that especially my audience, it's my growing audience in New Zealand since I've moved to Auckland. You know, we talk about, I talk with some of the my colleagues or new friends about finances, just to kind of get a gauge on what they are. They don't like talking about it. They do talk about something called the tall poppy syndrome, which is in just every day, what you don't do is that you don't showboat or you don't brag or you're very humble. And that even goes down to their athletes. You know, it's the aw shucks, kick the can sort of thing, but they don't really identify what they've just accomplished. Hey, you're like the world champion. But, we put in the work, the hard work, but, you know, it's all in good fun. You know, that's like a common thing. And what I'm trying to come across here with New Zealand women is that when you are successful, you are the inspiration for the next sister to look at you and go, wow, she can do this. I can do this. So I want to, you know, put awareness that it's okay to have success. It always is. But it's even more okay to share it. And I think that your book and having the realization that finances go hand in hand with that and not be afraid of talking about it, or being in a place where you can talk about, you know, sales from last quarter and this is where you're going, that is where the conversation needs to go and also foster that.
See, I think what scares us most is not what we're most ashamed of is not our flaws. It's our fabulousness. We are so afraid to shine. We are so afraid to step up and be all we can be. It is very scary for us. That's why I think support from each other is so important. I have a free call the first Monday of every month. It's Money Monday. And the first Monday of every month, it's a free call. And what we do is we talk about money. We talk about money. People ask me questions. Other people chime in. And out of this grew a Facebook group called Money Monday. And so if anybody's interested, they could go on my website, barbarastanny.com, S-T-A-N-N-Y, and find out all about my Money Monday calls. It's free, absolutely free. And I just love those calls because they've grown hugely. And I love to have the conversation about money and about our fabulousness.
I love that. And those calls are transformative because you do hear people with, you know, questions that are very similar to yours, and they're actually responding. I mean, you're actually responding to them, which is always a thrill because it comes from a great place, and you are on a call with other people that literally are holding that space for that long about money and the care and just the sisterhood, I think, even from it, if I can call it that. It's just a great place to be.
Have you been on the
calls? I have been on the calls at the beginning, but I recently stopped, and then I went, what am I doing? And, you know, when I stopped your calls, I noticed that the dip of importance and me not shining when it comes to taking finance important is when I stopped the calls.
Well, I invite you back on February 4th. I think this is really important because this is not your dad's or your husband's calls about money. This is women's calls about money. And what happens is the presenting problem may be financial, but the solution, the deeper issue, rarely is. And that's what we get to in these calls. What is really going on beneath the surface? What are the wounds that need healing? What are the changes in you that need to be made for you to become a container that can hold the money when it comes in?
Oh, Barbara, that's so good. I think I'm going to end it right there because it's just perfect. And while you were talking, I noticed on my little post-it note, I put my legendary love is money. So thank you so much, Barbara, for just sharing all of this really great, great information. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. This was fun.
I love doing that interview, and I hope it inspired you so much that you can go ahead and check out this website. It's going to give you a lot more information on topics just like this. Go to hustleandglow.com/AMP. That's for AMP / So it's hustleandglow.com/AMP for AMP. / And there you'll find a lot more information. You can actually sign up for the free newsletter, and we will get you on the road to a wonderful entrepreneur journey. Thank you so much for listening. And again, this is Francesca Alexander with The Beauty Beat.